Blog Talk Radio.
Go down. Welcome to the First Trap Poetry Jam, honoring those that first put it down, the founders of Russell's Deaf Poetry Jam. So sit back, relax, because we're about to spit spoken poets intellectualizing.
Hey, welcome to this First Trap Poetry Jam in honor of National Poetry Month and paying tribute to the founders of Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO. That would be Russell Simmons, Bruce George, Danny Simmons, and Deborah Pointer. This episode is brought to you by Gumbo for the Soul International and Tribe Family Channel. I am one of your hosts, the Poetic One, and we are about to spit live on Tribe. I got some company in the house with me. Y'all go ahead and introduce yourselves. Who's in the building?
Greetings, fellow griots. I am your modest spoken word artist, Bob McNeil.
And I am Patrice Chocolate Banks, funking it up on in the poetry arena tonight. We're going to bring some funk to poetry tonight.
That's right. And we are expecting Michael Gwynn. We want to congratulate him. He just accepted a new position, so his schedule got thrown off midstream. But we are going to accept his arrival as soon as he hits the building. But we also have another special guest in the house of Chocolate. So we're going to go off the rotation for a second and let this young lady say what's up to the audience.
Oh, my God. Blessings and peace to everyone. This is Sweet LD of Oaktown 357, and I'm honored to be here with you guys this evening. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome.
All right. Welcome. We are about to get this jam started. Y'all ready?
Oh, yes.
We're ready. Stay ready. Stay
ready. That's right. That's right. Well, first, what we're going to do is give a little history on Deaf Poetry Jam. I am Poeticate, and I'm going to start this off. Deaf Poetry, also known as Russell Simmons Presents Deaf Poetry or Deaf Poetry Jam, which was co-founded by Bruce George, Danny Simmons, and Deborah Pointer, is an HBO television series produced by hip-hop music entrepreneur Russell Simmons. The series presents performances by established spoken word poets as well as up-and-coming ones. Well-known actors and musicians will often surprise the audience by showing up to recite their own original poems. The show, hosted by Most Deaf, Deaf Poetry was a spinoff of Deaf Comedy Jam. As he did on Deaf Comedy, Simmons appears at the end of every episode to thank the audience.
The series included historical legendary poets such as The Last Poets, Nikki Giovanni, Amiri Baraka, and Sonia Sanchez. It also featured Saul Williams, Grammy Award-winning Jay Ivey, Jessica Care Moore, and Lemon. Though technically not a poetry jam, Deaf Poetry has become heavily associated with the Poetry Slam movement and utilizes many of Poetry Slam's best-known poets, including National Poetry Slam champions such as Bo Sia, Taylor Molly, Big Papa E, Maida Del Baya, Mike McGee, Alex Olson, and Reeves. even poets who are critical of the poetry slam, such as John S. Hall, have acknowledged slam's influence on the show. In a 2005 interview, Hall was quoted saying, "It's true that I was on Deaf Poetry. Even though I've never slammed, I'm probably the only person to be on there who hasn't slammed. And I think most people on Deaf Poetry have won slams or done well in slams. And all of them, except the special guest stars, the celebrities, are writing slam poems and performing slam poems on Deaf Poetry. So to me, Deaf Poetry is still extremely slam-informed, and I think it will probably always be. What they say about Deaf Poetry is that it wants to bring an urban feel. And to me, they don't mean black or Latino or non-white. What they really mean is a rhythm of poetry that comes out of the Eureka Poets Cafe, that came out of slams."
In a 2005 interview, Bob Holman, who founded the New Eureka Poets Cafe's Poetry Slam and appeared on season 4 of the show, applauded Deaf Poetry, noting, "I'm real happy poetry is on television. My hat is off to Russell Simmons, who has found a way to get poems on HBO in a way that feeds his own business. It gives him the back credentials for his hip-hop label, and at the same time, he's magnanimous towards the art of poetry, giving us a place like that. It's a great, great moment, just as Deaf Poetry Jam on Broadway was a great moment, too. Not since Intozake Shange, for colored girls only who have considered suicide when the rainbow is enough, has a poem like that been on interview. Mark Smith, the founder of the Poetry Slam movement, is more critical of the program. Smith decries the intense commercialization, thank you, of the Poetry Slam and refers to Deaf Poetry as an exploitative entertainment program that diminished the value and aesthetic of performance poetry."
In November 2002, a live stage production, Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam, opened on Broadway. The show featured poets Bo Sia, Sia Hamad, Stacey and Chin, Lemon, Maida Del Baya, Georgia Mee, Black Ice, Poetry Smith, and Steve Coleman. The show ran on Broadway until May 2003 and won a 2003 Tony Award for Best Special Theatrical Event. The show subsequently toured both nationally and internationally. Deaf Poetry premiered on HBO in 2002, and the latest season to air, season 6, premiered in February 2007. As of summer 2008, there has been no word about the possibility of a season 7. Starting in 2008, producers of Deaf Poetry, including Simmons, Stan LaFan, Camellia Forbes, developed and broadcast the HBO poetry show Brave New Voices, which is stylistically similar with teenage poets competing and backstage scenes.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is what brings us here today at this point in time to Spit Tribe Poetry Jam in honor of the co-founders of Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO. Again, Russell Simmons, Bruce George, Danny Simmons, and Deborah Pointer. We collectively salute you. Now we would like to reflect on those that have passed the baton to us. So we're going to go around and just share some reflections on who influenced us as a poet. For myself, one of my first influences would have been the last poets, Maya Angelou, Gil Scott-Heron, and Nikki Giovanni. I've written poetry since I was a little girl. I've always loved the written word, and so I would say that poetically those people have been my influences.
Well, as poets, it's always necessary to praise those who came before us, because without the trails our elders created, our feet would wander looking for a path. Having said that, I'm going to share my thoughts about a very, very special individual, Luis Reyes Rivera. He was a poet, a professor, a broadcaster, and he participated on deaf poetry. He recited a wonderful piece about Malcolm X. Ever so briefly, I would like to share an excerpt from his essay, Inside the River of Poetry. Always there is a need for song, and every human has a poem to write, a compulsion to contemplate out loud, an urge to dig out that ore of confusion locked up inside. Poetry, you see, is as old as breath itself. For when human beings across the planet simultaneously uttered that first initial sound, they gave rise to the same echo heard in the wail of every newborn child. Thus, the birth of the word, the root of every language, poetry, the strength of the people, the finest manifestation of craft, content, and intent in every written and oral expression, the basis upon which all other literary genres have evolved. Thank you. On behalf of the late Luis Reyes Rivera.
All right. And may I just add quickly for the audience, excuse me, Chocolate, I just wanted to let the audience know that Luis Reyes, may he rest in peace, was indeed a prolific poet and also the mentor of one of the co-founders, Mr. Bruce George. Back to you, Chocolate.
Okay. Well, like you, Poeticate, I was always that little girl who was always writing. I still have, like, my diaries from elementary school, middle school. It was just something about writing. I always, anything that was in my head that I felt like that I wanted to make sure that I did not forget or was important or whatever it may be, I had to always write it down. And poetry, I never really considered myself a poet so much as a lyricist. What I do is I write song lyrics, which really is all the same. It's the same thing. A song is just a poet with music to it. So basically, that's what I do. That's where I get my inspiration from. And so I'm inspired by other lyricists and musicians. But as far as poetry goes, like you, I was very much influenced by Maya Angelou because I was able to read her work without having to pull out a dictionary and having to figure out what she was saying every other word. You know, she was very down to earth, very profound, but yet very simple, got her point across. I loved her. Also, Gil Scott-Heron, for the same reasons. That brother, he just threw it down like it was and said it like it was and gave us a clear picture of what his life experience was. And Sly Stone and Smokey Robinson, those are my big influences as far as poetry is concerned, poets are concerned.
Well, all right now. Sweet LD?
Yes. Oh, I didn't know I was going to have to say anything. You know what? You guys are like, okay, I'm here. I'm going to say.
When you're listening, you got to cook.
I thought the show was just going to keep on rolling. I would say Sonia Sanchez and Nikki Giovanni, but I also have to say that I did not realize I was even doing anything as a writer when I was younger that would be considered poetry. So it took me a while to get to that point. And like my cousin, I have journals and notebooks full of stuff. I've had the opportunity to write, you know, as and still write poetry to this day. So those are the two that I would say touch me when I read them. And I kind of aspire to kind of write as they do. And I'm not sure I've gotten there yet, but that's how I feel about it. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. Now, is there anything else I'm going to have to say beside my poem? Because y'all are cracking me up. I'm being pulled in where I didn't think I was going to have to be. But I'm ready for y'all. I'm ready. I'm just saying.
We'll see. When you step into Trot Family Channel, Trot Poetry Jam, and you bring star power, you just might get real right into the rotation. You in rotation.
Okay,
well, it gets real live.
It's real live. On Tribe. That's
live tribe.
Okay. You know.
All I want to say about it is we picked the right person to step right in and do what she needed to do because, you know, she learned the same way I learned. Our grandmother told us, don't get ready, stay ready. And I think she's doing a heck of a job. And right now, I'm S-M-P. No. I'm making this up as I go. I'm trying to say I'm snapping my fingers. So what's that? SMS. So I'm SMS.
SMS. Yeah, SMS.
Well, it's about to go down. As y'all can see, we are ready to have some fun. So by now, our audience can feel the order of rotation, and that's how we're going to spit. But we're going to remind them one time. Poeticate, Bob McNeil, Chocolate Banks, and Sweet LD. We're going to go around and spit two poems in that order. And then we're going to have a break and hear some excerpts from some of these people that we named that have influenced us. So with that being said, I'm going to come on up to the mic, y'all. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring y'all African eyes.
Mm-hmm.
African eyes. Dreadlocks flowing free in eyes, mystical beauty. Play your kalimba, a tune especially for me. African eyes, mystical beauty. Motherland, my home, I've never seen. Can being with you be more than a dream? African eyes, orange sunrise, moonlit nights, fruitful delights, purple sunset, natural etiquette. To me, it's no surprise you have such beautiful African eyes. African eyes.
All right.
That's a mess.
All right.
We're in the building, y'all.
Okay.
I'm going to bring it next.
Great. This first poem was inspired by Kaunte Cullen's epic, The Black Christ. My poetic response is entitled To Resurrect Revolution. Kaunte Cullen and I are of this consensus. Prejudice drafts psychopaths. Their war paths transfix our people to many a crucifix. There resides the reason why my protest must never relax from typing its attacks. Addressed to your psyche, my compositions are microphones for Emmett Till, Michael Griffith, Yusef Hawkins, Amadou Diallo, Sean Bell, Ramali Graham, Trayvon Martin, Darius Simmons, Jordan Davis, and Renisha McBride. Addressed to your psyche, you can hear the murdered entreat. Don't allow another name to join a homicide report sheet. Don't allow another name to join a homicide report sheet. Addressed to your psyche, the compositions I've written are parts of a bulletin. The passages transmit to our terra firma's retina. Addressed to your psyche,
my protest wants life to evict the combustive and discriminative. If armed with you, lawfulness will live. Thank you, brothers and sisters. That concludes my poem, Text to Resurrect Revolution.
Right on, right on, right on, right on.
That's in there.
Let me cut in before you spit chocolate, and we at Tribe Poetry Jam want to welcome Mr. Michael Gwynn in the building. How you doing, Michael?
Yay!
How's everybody doing? How y'all doing?
We've been waiting for you for so long. That was a very powerful piece
that brother just spit.
Yeah, it was.
Who is that?
That's Bob McNeil.
Oh, man. Oh, man. That was awesome, bro.
Thank you.
Michael Gwynn, we're going to bring you up to speed because, brother, you are worth every minute of it. We have Patrice Chocolate Banks. Chocolate, say hello to Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hey,
how you doing? I'm so glad that you are here. You just really don't know. Thank you for coming.
Awesome.
Sweet LD from 357 Oaktown, will you please welcome Mr. Michael Gwynn?
Welcome, sir. Glad to meet you. Thank you for joining us.
It is an honor and a pleasure. Thank you.
And last but not least, that brother that just finished spitting, Mr. Bob McNeil, please welcome Mr. Michael Gwynn, who we're going to ask to spit for us and reflect on his favorite poet, and then he'll be where we are.
It's an honor and a privilege to share a mic with you, man.
Likewise, sir. Likewise.
And, Michael, we want to congratulate you on your new position. We know that's what brings you sliding in the building on stage, but you here. And we welcome you, and we would like to turn over the mic to you and ask you to reflect upon who inspired you to become the poet and the producer of the Fort Worth Poetry Slam that you're doing. Tell us about who inspired you.
Well, you know what? The artist that inspires me the most, there are a few, you know. Obviously, you know, Nikki Giovanni, Patricia Smith, you know, Sonia Sanchez, Miriam Baraka, Langston, but the sister that is probably one of the most amazing poets ever is Miss Maya Angelou. She is quintessentially the top performance poet and spoken word artist and literary genius in this age, and I look up to her. You know, I've had a chance to perform and do some things with her in the past, and it's just an honor to see her, and she inspires me. She does.
All right. Well, sir, we're going to turn the mic back over to Patrice Chocolate Banks and pick up the rotation where we left off, and will you join us if you have the production notes and spit after Patrice. We're going two rounds, and we're in our first round. In Sweet LD, we're going to bring you in when Chocolate intended, okay?
Okay.
All right.
So you can relax.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said, so you can relax for a minute.
I will relax.
Right, because you're going to go, and then Michael's going to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to relax.
Yeah, you can relax. All right, the name of this poem is called Black Eyes. People keep asking me why I don't leave you, but they don't see what I see or know you like I do. I remember the man you used to be when you first fell in love with me. But that joy is no longer there, and now I'm living a nightmare. And we hide the shame and all of the lies behind the mask, a disguise. And the pain goes deeper than these bruises on my skin. You and I live our lives between the black eyes. But between the black eyes, I'm your leading lady. You offer me gifts and apologize. But right now, only God can save me. I have no more tears left to cry.
I know if I tried to go, you would only follow. And we hide the shame and all of the lies behind a mask, a disguise. And the pain goes deeper than these bruises on my skin. We live our lives between the black eyes. That is called black eyes.
Yes, yes.
That is deep.
My finger.
Yes. SMF.
It's on me. It's on me now.
It's on you, Mr. Gwynn.
We don't get to discuss that wonderful piece. We don't get to talk about it or nothing. That was awesome.
That was
you.
Awesome.
Okay,
well,
I know
awesome.
That's probably another forum, but I'll go ahead and just do something right quick.
No,
right,
no. What form? Wait. Whoa. I know we don't
okay,
care, but
form?
Hey, we family. We family. You
okay.
Want to say something to Chocolate about Black Eyes? Please do so. She has a song about it too. Please.
I just want to say the poem was well written, well spoken. I can actually literally, you know, hear and feel the energy from it. It's like she connected with it. You know, the stanzas were very tight. I really, really, really love, you know, the wordplay. And I just want to say that it was a very well-written piece, and it's something that I would buy and listen to. So I just wanted to be able to say that. We don't say that enough to each other.
Well, yay, thank you.
Yay.
If I may say, you actually can check it out because these are lyrics to a song that I've written, and it's on YouTube, and it's called Between the Black Eyes, the Tree Chocolate Banks. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good segue, huh?
Yes.
That's right. The sister is bad, and on the she'll let you know where all things chocolate are located. You know she's the favorite flavor on Everybody is a Star with Tribe as well. So the sister got lyrics, songs, a radio show, books, everything.
Wow. Trying to be like you when I grow up.
I don't know who she's talking to. Your hands,
I'm talking
Michael,
to you.
For us, Michael Spitz, what you got?
All right, wherever you insist. Here it is. Here's a little piece I wrote as a wedding proposal to my wife. It's called Every Day, and it's a poem that that I hope she hears every time I recite it. Here it goes. If I could capture a rainbow, I'd wrap you in my favorite colors and paint you perfect. And if you truly knew you the way I do, you'd know why I'd get down on my hands and knees, reach inside my soul, gather moonbeams and starlight, arrange them in a beautiful bouquet, place them at your feet and say, I grew those for you. And every day all I do is think of ways to do and say more than I did the day before to tell you how much I miss you. And right now all I want to do, all I ever want to do, is to take you Tuesday, wake you Wednesday, quit your Thursdays till Friday, then sit Saturday sipping your Sundays till Monday. You see, I just want to love you daily. I want you to get sprung in the spring, sizzle in the summer, feast on me falling, calling as you and I anticipate the autumn and get wild below the waist in winter because my love is all the seasons you'll need. I want you to go crazy as I slide off your Januaries, pull down your Februaries, March right up between your Aprils as May becomes June, and your July lays naked in the August of my September till you remember that October was when my naughty November eased inside your delicious December. Listen, all I'm trying to say is I want to love you every day. There you go.
Bam! I'm snapping fingers at the dog on Tuesday.
You know,
wow.
Hey.
Wow.
Hey. I could put that to music, baby, and we'd have us a hit song right there, especially when you're talking about between your naughty Aprils or whatever you said, all them months, baby. Woo!
That was off the chain.
It was.
So my hat is off to Mrs. Gwen for capturing Mr. Gwen within. All right now.
Woo.
Thank y'all
Woo.
So much. You're too kind. You're too kind.
That was something. Well, all right now. We're going to bring it back up to the top of the rotation. Poeticate, Bob McNeil, Chocolate Banks, and then Michael Gwynn. So this one is Untitled Number One. Ku Klux Klan, white supremacy, racism, communism, how ignorant can people be? Wrongful incarceration, animal experimentation, political retardation, starvation of a nation. Abortion, distortion, spread of AIDS, early graves, nuclear plant sites, people fighting for equal rights. When will all this madness cease? Can we please have some peace? Untitled, number one.
Can we please have some peace?
I just want some peace.
Untitled, number one. I want, where number two at?
A lot of wisdom in there.
Where's the peace at? That's what I want to know. Where's the peace?
Come on now. We're fighting. We're fighting for the peace.
That's
Bob,
great.
What you got?
Okay, my next poem, Sword of Words, is dedicated to all poets. We create. We shape. We mold a cosmos of star-lustered concepts with words. God-hallowed words, sage-made words, Adam ancient words, sermon-mounting words. We write, we inspect, we dissect, exposing our love-housing hearts, exposing our world-impaired spirits. We infuse each page with words, passion-inclined words, birth-painful words, war-morbid words, rainbow-garnished words. The serum, language, flows from our veins. Words are forces possessing an artery to assault or soothe. We're poets. Throughout our souls, throughout our limbs, we feel our poems. Thank you for letting me share my poem, Sword of Words.
All right. You said we do feel it.
And you what? Listen to his voice. He could, like, read the telephone book to me.
Yeah, good.
and I mean that. But you know what you said, that was so profound, because you know that is the way I personally feel. I was listening very carefully. That's the way I personally feel about words. I mean, you know, the same way I feel about music. It's like, you know, without words, and if you're a poet, and what are you going to do if you have no words?
Thank you. That's right.
Okay,
that was
so
my turn.
So profound.
Excellent. This poem is called Love to Go. I thought love was real between me and you. I have finally had enough. It's over. I'm through. Time after time, my heart's been left out in the cold. I'm putting all this drama on hold. From now on, I'm going to take love to go. Have it waiting, ready, and hot. Just give me some love to go. I'm coming through, moving fast, in and out. I like my loving warm and sweet. Add some of that secret sauce, please. Make sure everything is well done. Excuse me while I get mine and run. You say you'll make it my way. Well, I'd like some McHuggets and a big smack. I don't want to wait, and I can't stay. But if everything is good, I'll be back. From now on, I'll take love to go. Wrap it up, keep it hot. Just give me some love to go. I'm coming through, moving fast, in and out. Love to go.
That poem was delicious.
Love to go. You off the chain. That's what she's talking about, y'all. If you didn't know, you know now.
yummy.
Go. I'm hungry.
What you got for us, Michael?
All right. Great piece. We're going to get that website again and find out. You got to tag me on Facebook and so I can let people know, all of you. Just send it to my agent, Beverly, and she'll get it to me. it's amazing talent.
I'm not getting started.
This is a poetic apology called I'm Sorry. Here we go. Every time I see you, I hear the melody of raindrops and realize that you're crying inside. And someday I'll write a poem that wins the Nobel Peace Prize for the peace I couldn't find in your eyes. You, be that writer, soul survivor, and your misery cuts through me, truly. Take me back to that moment in your story where you first lost your glory, and I can only imagine how it must feel to have wings and not be able to fly. That has to be the most painful feeling any woman could bear. Well, I never known that feeling. I never felt the sting of words without wings become dirty, pretty things. And I never screamed at the top of my lungs and had no one hear my cry. I never known that was Mike Beverly. I never known. And even though I've never been where you are, I can still feel the scar on your spirit. When you speak, I hear it. And even though I've never had hopes bashed, I can hear the echoes of dreams smashed like 1,000 fists against the window of your past. But I have had words, just like Maya Angelou's verbs, dying to get out, and that doubt just beat them back down till they become poetic lumps in the throat of my soul. And I've waited a lifetime to fall in love, to be a part, and had no one to share my heart. I know what that's like, Bob. I know. And right now, I refuse to let you sit there all alone, wrapped in blue, touching black, seeing red. Your sunshine is just hiding behind dark clouds, waiting for you to shout out loud that you are no longer a slave to a pen without ink. You can think. And your voice will not become sign language with the ghost of your anguish, because tonight your words take flight. They soar, traveling from metaphor to metaphor, giving life to incomplete sentences. They soar, stretching the limitations of sound. Your words fan the clouds and cool the sky. They soar, capturing the moment. They soar, freeing the soul. They soar, they soar, they soar. And right now I just want to say I'm sorry. Sorry for every man who never said he was sorry. Sorry for all those times your essence was like left lying in the shade of ever. Never roadkill for vultures, too busy to see that in your eyes blooms the seed of his culture. Sorry for all those nights your heart was left tangled in the curve of a smile as crooked as his shifty grin. To me, that is the greatest sin. And I want you to know that the prize between your thighs can never match the beauty inside your eyes, because you are beautiful. And I promise to never disrespect with this, this, or this, to protect you with this, this, and this. And I know you may not believe me tonight. I know. But I'll take that chance to say right here on Tribe Radio, forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Well,
let's start.
Okay. Okay.
I accept that apology. That's beautiful.
That apology then, right?
Yeah,
sound like to me, he's targeting women. See, I see what you're doing. You're not fooling me.
No, you know, I'm going with the vibe.
You after the woman, but you know what? You got me. I'm sold. I accept your apology.
Oh, yeah.
I accept everybody's apology. Hey, I accept everybody's apology.
That's great. That was beautiful.
And the apology,
thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. And y'all apology.
Every apology. I mean, these brothers bring it. Well, we are at the point of time where we are going to introduce our guest poets. I would like to introduce to you my guest poet, my sister, Sarah Rachel Berry, a.k.a. author Lady Serenity. She has gone on to be with God in glory, reigning in paradise. But she describes herself as this: I love life, family, and people, and that's why I'm rich in also being my Creator's child, a daughter, mother, wife, grandmother, friend, mentor, community leader, indie book publisher, and book coach. I love the play of words and live to imprint them in my life. Writing is the ink that colors me. When I write, I am in orgasm with creativity. Ladies and gentlemen, Lady Serenity.
Although my skin is black, but not my spirit. My skin is the color of coal, so there are some doors that dare not open to me. There are some places I'm told not to tread or explore. There are some ignorant people who choose not to know me or at times gaze upon my face. There are some money handlers who make money uneasy for me to obtain. There are some scholars that make knowledge hard for me to pursue. And when I ask why, often my voice falls on dead ears. So sometimes opportunities are temporarily taken from my reach. But aha, the hammering at one soul doesn't merely exist only by outside forces, foes, or colors. The brotherhood of one's own flesh and skin tone can slash just as long and just as deep sometimes, if not repaired constantly by hope and determination, secured also by healthy association. But I am a warrior of strength, so when some try to enslave me from things I so rightfully desire, or some lay stones by which they want me to stumble, my soul remains free and untainted, untouched by the ignorance, because it I control. Every strike against me inflames my earthly frame with the powers of courage and fortitude. Proudly I strut, aglow in the dark skin that I'm proudly wearing. Continuously I press on with the duties of my forefathers and mothers, that of bravery, pride, and self-esteem, instilling these qualities in my offspring and relentlessly continuing to fight for which is mine, never, ever losing sight of it. Happily, I push forward towards my endeavors, seizing the days that are filled with peace and praying for more to help soar this earth colorfully, swooping high above the ignorant sun, because my skin is black, but not my spirit.
Lady Serenity, y'all.
Wow.
Okay. That'll be deep.
And that was deep. She
yep.
is dearly missed. She leaves to continue her legacy for adult kids and for grandkids. And she goes where the sisterhood goes.
Those words
absolutely
will always be around us. They are immortal words. They're great words.
Absolutely.
Right on. So, next, we're going to pass up your guest right now, Bob, because he has not managed to queue up yet, and we're going to pass the baton to Patrice to introduce her guest.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Chocolate,
well, my guest, I am so proud of, because, first of all, she's my cousin. Second of all, she is a pioneer in the hip-hop industry. She was, she is, I was getting ready to say was, but she still is, because they're making a return, a member of O-Town 357. She started out dancing with MC Hammer. And, by the way, she's based right there in Fort Worth, Texas, by the way. And she is talented in so many different ways. She can do so much. And her words are, when I found out, because, you know, I've known her all of her life, so just to see her blossom, to see the creativity that has been planted inside of her, I know that she has always written. So this, to me, was a perfect opportunity for her to show, display, let me say, yet another one of her God-given talents. And so I would like to introduce to the world today.
Oh, my gosh.
Suhaila Sabir, a.k.a. Sweet LD. Ta-da, drum roll, please.
Yay. Thank you for that awesome introduction. I just have to say she forgot to mention I'm shy. So, welcome to the club, huh? So I'm going to share this one, and it's called My Hands Are So Full. My hands are so full, can't see the forest for the trees. My will is standing, but there's blood on my knees. My hands are so full, rushing through drama to get to my dreams. The dancing shouts of thank you drown out pain, moans, and pleas. My hands are so full, holding on to wants for the sake of needs, soft sifting through hollow whisperings of fear and misery. My hands are so full. My blessings runneth over. Moistened soil of praying hands. My fingers like petals on a love fragrance flower. My hands are so full that raised high in praise they sing. My hands are so full, raised high in praise they sing. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Woo!
Yes.
My hands
Woo!
Are so full.
I feel that.
Oh, okay.
She said, I've blood on my knees. I am in prayer and worship.
Okay. Yes.
I want to be adopted by such a talented family.
Oh, stop. We
Yay.
Are already family. Trust me, we're already family. Thank you guys for that. That was written for my, thank you. That was written for my Aunt Verna. She just passed, so that's why I got a little shaky, but that's for my Aunt Verna.
Like
raining in
Yay.
Paradise, and
yes,
I know her spirit feels the presence of your love and your words.
Yes, thank you.
And
Good
all
job,
right, Mom. Michael, did you have a guest that wants to spit at this time?
What happened,
Michael? Are you still there? Michael?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay.
Okay. Did you have a guest? I remember initially we wanted to know
no.
if you wanted to bring
yeah.
a guest, and I
did have one, but then she just found out that she has dance rehearsal for a Easter show with T.D. Jakes this Sunday, so she opted to
Ooh.
Go to dance rehearsal.
Well, all right now.
Is he going to submit an apologetic poem?
Well, she's also my wife. She's also my wife,
okay.
So I give her a pass.
Oh, there you go. We'll give her a pass.
I'll give her a pass, too, because, you know, that's my pastor, Bishop T.D. Jakes now. That's who I study under. So
there you go.
Go ahead and dance and do your praising.
There you go.
Well, all right now, we don't have any other guests at this time to present. So what we are going to do is we are going to go to some excerpts that we have brought to this point in time, especially for Tri Poetry Jam. Here we go. This is an excerpt from Mr. Bruce George. He is one of the co-founders of Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO, and this is from his website, part of his promos. So you're going to hear, you know, some audio that may sound off topic, but bam, here we go.
bring rap justice, but I ain't 5-0, y'all know it's not, yo. Great moves and a whole lot of hydro. Only the drivers and soldiers, survivors. Stay late in the best, well-dressed with finesse in the white tee, looking for whitey. Saw a girl who fly and talk so nicely. Put her in the booth so she can feel the night breeze. We can drive through the city, no doubt, but don't say my car's topless. Say to me, this is out. Newness is the anthem. Put your hands up, that you wish we count your loot.
Greetings, my name is Bruce George. I'm a poet, writer, activist, father, grandfather. I'm all about activism. I'm all about putting myself in a position where I can help people in struggle. That was my mandate from God. It's all about the collective and not the individual. I allow any and everything to inspire me. Regardless of whatever I go through, whether it's good or bad or indifferent, I allow it to motivate me to be better and do better. I'm a man on a mission, and I feel very strong about giving back to the community, reaching back to people, reaching out to people, and helping take them to another level. So that's what drives me, is just being able to make a difference in someone's life. Revolutionary struggle, and we've always historically had to maintain that code of silence in order for us to be able to survive. If we didn't maintain that code of silence, we wouldn't be where we are today, you know, in terms of being able to, you know, with Harriet Tubman, through the underground movement, underground railroad, there was a code of silence that she had to enforce upon people so she can have these ex-captives, because we weren't slaves, these ex-captives, to bring them from the south to the north, following the North Star. You know, the Dan Marvesi, the Mau Mau, all these different revolutionaries, they all followed the code because it was about survival and it's rooted in survival. Community needs to be more community-like, where we bring our issues to each other, and we talk to each other. You know, not having to bring it to the police per se, but we need to be able to communicate with each other and get to the bottom line and get to the root of things. We don't need to go to the police to do that. It's been said once culture plus experience equals one's frame of reference. Well, activism for me, it wasn't necessarily a choice. It wasn't something that I chose to do. It was more or less just like hip-hop was created out of a sense of necessity. Same thing with activism for me. It's like breathing. It's a part of survival. It's a part of my survival. And it's about resisting. So for me, activism was more or less not something that I chose to do, per se, but it was something that I felt I needed to do. Black Panther Party said it best. They said that art is an indispensable revolutionary tool of struggle. So this is not something that we're doing just for the sake of doing it. No, this is something that we're doing out of necessity, just like the pop. And one thing that I really do love about my team, what it's doing with the Red Bull, is that it's no holds barred. You know, I mean, the truth is very controversial. Madison and Cashman and Biggs made it right about it. In the end, Jared is saying it's right in your face. You know, even if it's for a poet or a writer is the most dangerous person on earth. They'd rather have a million rappers talking about murder, 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 kill, 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 than have one poet talking about the thing that I want to kill the Moon. And this Red Bull World Class is about getting the word out, about getting information out. In terms of my writing career, I was influenced by my mother, Elaine George Asaro, who was one of the first published poets in our family. She would always use these exotic words around me, and as a result of that, I fell in love with words. 30-some ideas, I've been writing poetry and prose and short stories or what have you, more so in the poetry end. It was a very natural transition for me to go from being a poet to an MC, one of the old school hip-hop heads based out of the Bronx. And from there, it was a smooth transition for me to transition into spoken word. Got into performance poetry, won multiple contests. I was publishing many magazines and literary publications. I've been blessed to be able to just really get my name and image out there.
What the Peabody Award means to me is that this is going to extend the shelf life of poetry. The poet has always been the cajoler of history. The poet has always been the truth bearer. And what this award is going to do is going to give a voice, further lend a voice to the voiceless. So by Russell Simmons head nodding this genre, what it did was it opened up a Pandora's box of writers, poets, playwrights, you name it. So this has really given the art form a Java Joe.
All right. Mr. Bruce George, co-founder of Russell Simmons Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO. And that's why we are here, to honor those that have paved the way, giving poets a position of power in the media and the arts on HBO and in mainstream. And we honor and salute those pioneers. Chocolate Banks, please set us up for the next excerpt.
Say that again. You kind of broke up a little bit.
I said, would you please set us up for the next excerpt? Introduce the next excerpt.
Okay, I'm not quite sure which one it's going to be. We had two. So give me a clue. Is it Gil Scott or Smokey? Okay, it's Smokey. Okay, I found this on YouTube, and I was like, Smokey was actually on Deaf Poetry Jam, and Russell Simmons is on the air saying, thank you, God bless you, everybody, for coming to hear us. But, you know, this is one of the reasons why I love Smokey Robinson, because of his ability to manipulate and maneuver and shape and the word, the written word, you know. So that's why he's written some of the greatest songs of all time. But he's actually speaking on this clip. And so I told Beverly, I said, you got to hear Smokey. He is throwing down. He went all in on this one. So this is his Smokey's commentary on being black in America.
And here we go.
Robinson.
I love being black. I love being called black. I love being an American. I love being a black American. But as a black man in this country, I think it's a shame that every few years we get a change of name. Since those first ships arrived here from Africa that came across the sea, there were already black men in this country who were free. And as for those who came over on those terrible boats, they were called nigger and slave and told what to do and how to behave. And then masters started tripping, during his midnight tipping down to the slave shacks where he forced he and great-great-grandma to be together. And the great-great-grandpa protested, he got tired and feathered. And at the same time, the black men in the country who were free were mating with the tribes like the Apache and the Cherokee. And as a result of all that, we're a parade of every shade. And at this late day and age, you can be sure there ain't too many of us in this country whose bloodline is pure. But according to a geological geographical genealogy study published in Time magazine, the black African people were the first on the scene. So for what it's worth, the black African people were the first on Earth, and through migration, our characteristics started to change and rearrange to adapt to whatever climate we migrated to. And that's how I became me, and you became you. So if we're going to go back, let's go all the way back. And if Adam was black and Eve was black, then that kind of makes it a natural fact that everybody in America is an African American. Everybody in Europe is an African European. Everybody in the Orient is an African Asian, and so on and so on. That is, if the origin of man is what we're going to go on. And if one drop of black blood makes you black like they say, then everybody's black anyway. So quit trying to change my identity. I'm already who I was meant to be. I'm a black American born and raised. And Brother James Brown wrote a wonderful phrase. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Because I'm proud to be black. And I ain't never lived in Africa. And because my great-great-granddaddy on my daddy's side did, don't mean I want to go back. Now, I have nothing against Africa. It's where some of the most beautiful places and people in the world are found. But I've been blessed to go a lot of places in this world. And if you ask me where I choose to live, I pick America, hands down. Now, by and by, we were called Negroes. And after a while, that name was banished. Anyway, Negro is just how you say black in Spanish. Then we were called colored. But shit, everybody's one color or another, and I think it's a shame that we hold that against each other. And it seems like we reverted back to a time when being called black was an insult, even if it was another black man who said that a fight would result, because we've been so brainwashed that black was wrong, so even the yellow niggas and the black niggas couldn't get along. But then came the 1960s. When we struggled and died to be called equal and black, and we walked with pride with our heads held high and our shoulders pushed back, and black was beautiful. But I guess that wasn't good enough, because now here they come with some other stuff. Who comes up with this shit anyway? Was it one or a group of niggas just sitting around one day? Feeling a little insecure again about being called black and decided that African-American sounded a little more exotic. Well, I think you were being a little more neurotic. It's that same mentality that got Amos and Andy put off the air because they were embarrassed about the way the characters spoke. And as a result of that action, a lot of wonderful black actors ended up broke. When we were just laughing and having fun about ourselves. So I say, fuck you if you can't take a joke. You didn't see the Beverly Hillbillies being protested by white folks. And if you think, of course you think, that being called African-American sets all black people's minds at ease, since we affectionately call each other nigger, I affectionately say to you, nigger, please. How come I didn't get a chance to vote on who I'd like to be? Who gave you the right to make that decision for me? I ain't under your rule or in your dominion, and I'm entitled to my own opinion. Now, there are some African Americans here. But they recently moved here from places like Kenya, Ethiopia, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Zaire. But not a brother whose family's lived in this country for generations, occupying space in all the locations, New York, Miami, L.A., Detroit, Chicago, even if he's wearing a dashiki and sporting an afro. And if you go to Africa in search of your race, you'll find out quick you're not an African American. You're just a black American in Africa taking up space. Why you keep trying to attach yourself to a continent, or even if you got the chance to go and you went, most people there wouldn't even claim you as one of them, as a purebred daughter or son of them. Your heritage is right here now, no matter what you call yourself or what you say. And a lot of people died to make it that way. And if you think America's the leader on inequality and suffering and grieving, how come there's so many people coming and so few leaving? Rather than all this fine thought with America shit you promoting, if you want to change something, use your privilege. Get to the polls. Come and support them. God knows we've earned the right to be called American Americans and be free at last. And rather than you moving forward with progress, you're dwelling in the past. We've struggled too long. We've come too far. And to the folks that know who we were, let's be proud of who we are. We're the only people whose name is always a trend. When is this shit going to end? Look at all the different colors of our skin. Black is not our color, it's our core. It's what we've been living and fighting and dying for. But if you choose to be called African American and that's your preference, then I give you that reference. But I know on this issue I don't stand alone on my own. And if I do, then let me be me. And I'd appreciate it if when you see me, you say, there goes a man who says it loud. I'm black. I'm black. I'm a black American, and I'm proud. Because I love being an American. And I love being black. I love being called black. Yeah, I said it. And I don't take it back.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
All right, y'all. Y'all heard it from Smokey Robinson on Being Black. How y'all feel about that?
Oh.
I didn't know Smokey had it in him. I was shocked. But so I love it. And every single word he said was true, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
I was blown away. I mean, as a lyricist and a producer, you know, he is legendary as a singer and an entertainer. He is to be commended. As a poet, oh, he had to know it when he put that out there. I've never heard it, and I'm blown away. Thank you so much, Chocolate Banks, for sharing that.
Girl, no problem. I love it.
What did you think about it, Bob?
Well, everything that Smokey does is brilliant. I mean, he's a melodious singer, and he adds melody to his philosophy. I mean, that's just the beauty of that man. I mean, he's just so talented.
That's right, that's right, that's right. Michael, what did you think about it? I know you got something for us.
Well, you know, as I was listening to Gil and Anna Mira, I'm thinking about how much the world is going to miss and desperately needs that type of message. And you know, when I came on, when I tuned in, I heard Bob's voice, and it reminded me a little bit of that style of delivery, that message, you know, making sure that the repetition was there and each stanza that it brought it back home. And those poets back in the day, it was about the message. It wasn't about the music, you know, as much. It wasn't about, you know, beats and everything else. It was about the message. The words themselves held up, and we need that. And that's why, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, whoever it was that brought, you know, Gil Scott and Amira to the forefront on this show, you know, did a fantastic service, not just to, you know, the listening audience, but to us, you know. And we just need more of those types of deliveries nowadays. We don't have as many as we should, but that's why we're here, and that's why this show is here.
Absolutely.
That's right, that's right. Sweet LD.
Uh-oh.
Sweet LD,
you're
still on the line.
Hello?
Hi,
yes,
Sweet LD.
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, sweetie. Did you want to reflect on Smokey Robinson on being Black in America?
I appreciate it. I mean, it's a wake-up call for everybody, and I appreciate what all of you said, but I was just like my cousin. I was surprised. I didn't know he had it in him, and then to come from him I thought was really powerful too, because sometimes the least, when you least expect it from a person, it stays with you even more, you know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
I loved it. I
mm-hmm.
thought it was suave,
mm-hmm.
boo, very suave boo,
mm-hmm.
for him
right.
to be able to do that. Yeah, very,
yeah.
very nice.
All right. And LD, what you think about Gil Scott-Heron?
Well, you know, I didn't want to say too much about him because I have other feelings for him. He's sexy to me. I just love whatever he does.
Girl,
that's he is sexy. So I was like, that's all I was going to say. I didn't really want to say that, but I was like, you know, I was trying to stay with Smokey, but that man, he's sexy to me.
That's right, and it's all right for him to be sexy for you. Go ahead on and say what you feel.
Mm-mm.
In that right poetry.
It's like when he says things to me, that's just how I feel. I like, I have to get past that to get the message. But first off,
well, we're going to get you right on past you right now, before we all get hot and bothered up in here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to turn this mic over to Patrice Chocolate Banks, because she has another special guest that has been holding on the line. And this baby girl, I am so honored for her to be on this show. So, Chocolate, please do us the honors, because your next guest is here.
All right. Well, I want to introduce this young lady by saying that she is a local Sacramento area poet raised in Oakland. She is also the daughter of legendary Cynthia Robinson, who is the trumpet player for Sly and the Family Stone. She goes by I'ma Be Me. She can tell you the whole thing. It takes about ten minutes, her tag. But anyway, she loves her community. She loves her community, and she is very active. And she is a Sacramento Area Youth Pink supporter. And I would like to introduce to you I'ma Be Me. What's up, girl?
Hey. Hi. How you doing?
Welcome.
So,
how are you?
So
thank
give us
you.
Your whole give us your whole tag.
it's I'ma Be Me as I Be We.
Nice.
There you go.
I like that.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay.
It's basically because I recognize that it's important for us each to have our own individuality and share the gifts that we have been given. But it's also important to remember that we are always, and we are also community, and we are a collective. So, yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about your work with SAYS, Sacramento Area Youth Speak.
SES is a literacy program out of UC Davis, and basically what we do is we've been given charge to go into the classrooms, usually the areas where black and brown students are kind of being left behind, and reengage the students in the learning process, and we do that through pumping literacy through spoken word, social justice, hip-hop, and we create a curriculum based on the student body population so that it speaks more personally to them and they can get more excited about the learning process.
Oh, okay. That's excellent. Whoever thought of that?
That's excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, they
did a
good job.
And
my other guest, is it all right if I call you, I'm going to call you Alma B. Is that cool?
You most definitely can.
That's right, because I've been knowing you ever since you was a little bitty baby. This,
yes.
My other guest, speaking of hip-hop, is my cousin, Sweet LD, who is in Oaktown 357. You remember them?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so she spits. So she's already done her thing for right now. So now it's your turn. So
I should have figured out how to get on so I could have heard it. You're going to have to help me figure out how to get on.
It's not over. Okay. She got another one to do.
Oh, good, good. Okay.
So you
want me to do it?
Did you want me to do one?
One, yes. Okay. Let's see what we got,
Before you do that, may I uh-huh. say that there's some movement and everything is being picked up. So whomever it is, you may want to know that it's being picked up. And go ahead.
Okay. Let's see what we got first. One. Here we go. This piece is called Can You Handle It? So here we go. Everybody's got a thing, but some just don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just reaching for things not worth having. Don't you worry about a thing. I can't remember the last time I sang, absent an agenda, because music is a friend, a companion that steadies my soul's flows. We usually hang pretty tight, music and me, but right now we're getting reacquainted again. Music helps me mend and paint death back to life beyond burials. Resurrections come in stereo when I remember who I really am. It's so easy, yo, to forget when you let yourself wander too long in other people's darkness, not home to the needs you need to breathe and have life breathe back onto you. Always reaching out in vain, just reaching for things not worth having, like it's magic. Pride and vanity, they be the seeds we water, but we gonna wake up one day and just have it all together. No work, but we gonna reap a whole new life that's better with minimal efforts. No cleaning off our own old shelves. We still worshiping spells that cast themselves at our feet empty, while we still needy, too greedy to catch sight beyond what feels good and rubs unto submissions. We chase worldly wealth, rejecting feel and be felt. But truth won't eventually tell what you keep telling yourself is secondary to monetary's established. Where have all our warriors gone? I know we got something else to do, except feed selfishly on these temporary pacifications, dishonoring the true gifts among us, those that will remain when all else falls away. When you get off your trip. Thank you.
Oh, right. I know we've got something else to do.
What did you say?
I like that one. I know you know we got something else to do.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Let the fellas sister, how they felt about that. Let's let the fellas go first. How y'all feel about that sister's flow?
Mm. Wow.
Well.
Where do we begin?
let's start in alphabetical order. Go ahead, Bob.
There it is.
Hold on. Listen. She added harmony. She added soul. She added something that we needed to hear. It was a beautiful message. It was a real pleasure listening to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I would say that more so than anything else, you know, just the fusion of music and poetry together has always been something that, you know, I found that if you have those types of layers, people gravitate to it more. To me, especially when it's done well, like it was just done, it enhances the artistry of the work and makes people listen more and gives credibility to both genres, and I really appreciated that.
Wow.
All right. Yes.
Wendell D 357, you got some love for I'ma Be Me?
I got way too much love. That was powerful, sister. That was beautiful. That was powerful. That was a whole bunch right there. Thank you very much, because it was timely for me. So I really appreciate that. No, that went deep. So thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh yeah.
All right.
I have to give it up for you, and I have to thank Chocolate for both of her guests. You brought some profound ladies that have legacies, that are carrying torches, and their words are profound. Their message is timely, and it's with content. It's relevant. And I just want to say that it was live on Tribe. Y'all heard it here, y'all.
That's right.
That
and I just
awesome.
Want to say, I just want to say that both of these ladies, they are both of them, I consider them like my babies in one way or the other, because first of all, my cousin,
yeah.
LD, I've been knowing her all of her life, of course, and so she was like, she was always studying, always watching, always observing. So to see her blossom into the person that she has become, and to for her to be so profound, it's like, where'd that come from? And then I had to remember it was in the DNA, you know what I'm saying? And then I'ma Be Me. Also, she was a little girl I used to, her mother is Cynthia Robinson, played trumpet for Sly and the Family Stone. So I've been knowing her for very, like, most of her life too, on and off.
Yes.
And then, Just to from her being a little bitty girl to know that she has blossomed into this person that she is, people are now calling her, another name for her is Mama. They call it her Mama, and I'm like, dang, they calling you Mama? Okay.
Empty.
So it's just wonderful to be able to just, like, be able to watch these this generation just blossom into the ones who will be taking us in the past, the future, in the past that they need to go in, the ones that who know the authenticity of, you know, what is valid, you know, in life. You know what I'm saying? What is real. You know, they have a firm grasp on what is real. And that's what we need right now in this generation to be able to guide future generations. We need to know that they can learn from those who understand what is real. Ooh, and I'm tired.
That's right. You know what? But that was necessary. We needed to hear that, because the baton,
yes.
when the baton is passed on, we need a generation reaching for it to take it where it needs to go. You know, so the message is relevant,
right.
And we thank you, and we thank Chocolate for making sure that you were here with us. And so we're going to start our second round of spitting in the order of the co-hosts. For those that are just joining us, you are live on Tribe with Coetiquette, Bob McNeil, Chocolate Banks, Michael Gwynn, and guest, I'ma Be Me, and Sweet LD. So,
yes.
With that being said, here comes
round two. Get ready, because we are about to spit. This is entitled Driven. This describes me. Because my, what's his name, Cat Williams? He said it's esteem of self, right? All right. So, driven, gifted, motivated, and talented, plan to win, never walking beneath my purpose, I'm worth this. Thinking positive, came to give, energy in abundance, high-spirited, humble, careful not to stumble, God-led. Every day is a blessing, spending time with him, giving honor and thanks for being chosen, driven.
Mm. All right. And you know what? That is you. That's definitely you, for sure. And you know what? You inspire. Let me just say this. You inspire and motivate me because you stay on the grind. And I just want to say that, you know, if you want to, the people that you choose to associate with, if you want to be driven, you need to be around people who are driven. You know what I'm saying? So I'm SNFing, which means snapping my fingers.
She's snapping her fingers on the one, y'all, because
that's
she is
right. On the one, baby.
The functress. All right. Bob is spitting next, y'all, but we're going to do his audio. Is that all right with you, Bob?
That's fine, but you know, I got to be honest with you. I want to say something about the ladies. Is there a chance I can slip into one piece about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great. This is called A Song for Sheroes. Mm. Women make men comprehend. Women make men comprehend. Women make men comprehend that each sister has a Harriet Tubman prepared to seek a place where men do not abuse their queens, a place that erects jewels of respect. Women make men comprehend. Women make men comprehend. Women make men comprehend that each sister has a Shirley Chisholm prepared to shake and make every state understand that liberation must not become a membership card only given to men. Women make men comprehend. Women make men comprehend. Women make men comprehend that each sister has a Dr. Macy Jemison entering a NASA shuttlecraft that ascends to a time where gender mistreatment ends. Women make men comprehend. Women make men comprehend. Women make men comprehend. That's my piece. A song for sure.
All right now.
All right. Okay, I'm about to shout. Y'all know anything about shouting? Can he do that one more time? No, I'm kidding.
Actually, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
Bless you, sisters. Bless you. Awesome.
And before we continue, we're gonna hear a little bit more from Mr. Bob McNeil. First, we want him to Bob introduce. No Black is a Nigger. Introduce that
well,
for us.
The title is self-explanatory. I respect my people. I love my people. And in my lifetime, I never met a nigger. That's just the way I get down. That's the way I feel, mm-hmm. All right? Okay, I have nothing respect for my people. I have nothing but respect for my people. And therefore, I don't really feel comfortable with the usage of the N-word, and as a result of that feeling, my friends and I wrote this particular song.
All right. And after we play that, we're going to roll right into something else, especially from Mr. McNeil. Here you go.
I knew Pasha, smarter than the sun is bright. Who made sciences when others dwelled in ignorance? I knew Kashite, but never, ever knew a nigger. No Black is a nigger. The word is a corpse for a coffin. Nigger, no Black is a nigger. The word is a corpse for a coffin. Nigger, no Black is a nigger. The word is a corpse for a coffin. Nigger. a nigga. The word is a corpse for a coffin. Nigga. I knew Negroes who made nations grow. I knew blacks with steel wheels and backs. I knew them all, but never, ever knew a nigga. No black is a nigga. The word is a corpse for a coffin. Nigga. No black is a nigga. The word is a corpse for a coffin. Nigga. No black. A nigga, the word is a corpse for a coffin. Nigga, no, black is a nigga. The word is a corpse for a coffin. Nigga, no, black is a nigga. The word is a corpse for a coffin. Nigga, no, black is a nigga. The word is a corpse for a coffin. Nigga.
All right.
The revolution will not be realized if selling your soul is your goal. The revolution will not be realized if you waste the opulence of your black presence. The revolution will not be realized if you're negroid in the void of acting caucasoid. The revolution will not be realized if you bleach and leech the shaded side of your hide. The revolution will not be realized if you try to deceive by wearing a doll hair weave. The revolution will not be realized if your black roots try to die to live a blonde lie. The revolution will not be realized if you deny the facts with blue eye contacts. The revolution will not be realized if your nose is redesigned into a ruler's line. The revolution will not be realized. The revolution will not be realized if you're made of lies. So be your black self for the revolution. Be your black self for the revolution. Be your black self for the revolution. Get right black.
Be
your black self for the revolution. Be your black self for the revolution. Be your black self for the revolution. Get right black for the revolution.
For the revolution.
For the revolution.
Wake up.
Get right black for the revolution. Get right black. So be your black self for the revolution. Be your black self for the revolution. Be your black self for the revolution.
Oppression for the revolution.
Be your black self for the revolution. Be your black self for the revolution.
Get
right
black
for the revolution.
Get
right
black
for the revolution.
Wake up
for the revolution. Get right black for the revolution. Get right black. So be your black self for the revolution. 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 Get right black for the revolution. For the revolution.
For the revolution.
Be your black self for the revolution. Get right black for the revolution. For the revolution. Get right black for the revolution. Get right black.
All right, all right, all right, Mr. McNeil.
I'm gonna be my black self.
Okay,
I'm gonna be my black self. Okay, for the revolution.
Thank you.
Brother, brother, brother.
Be my black self, baby.
I need you to take us back to No Black is a Nigger and tell us what the full what that full verse is, because I wasn't hearing it clearly, and I want to know what you were saying.
Well, basically,
without saying the whole thing.
Okay, hold on. I got to be honest with you. It's been a long time since I've rehearsed that piece. So
okay,
I'm not even entirely sure. Right. But I will say this much.
As a people, we should learn to respect ourselves and refer to ourselves respectfully, okay? And, you know, I don't feel that this derogatory word should be utilized by us. More importantly, I don't think we should allow anybody else to speak to us in that specific manner.
Come on now.
Okay?
Amen.
That's how I really feel.
All right. We received that. Anybody else want to spit
yes.
on it?
And he's right. I agree with that. I remember that. I remember one time Oprah was telling some rapper, I think it was Jay-Z, about on her show about why it was that she had problems with rappers, and she was saying one of the reasons was because they used that word so freely, the word nigga so freely. And the thing about her, she was coming from was that, you know, a lot back in the day, you know, in slavery times, that nigga was the last word that black people heard before they were lynched. And so that you know, that I never forgot that. It's like, that's all the reason in the world to me not to use that word. You know what I'm saying?
Come on now.
All the reason in the world. So I truly agree with what he just said. I'm trying to figure out what I want to be called. I'm like Smokey. It's, you know, I'm going to come up with a something new. I'll let y'all know when I do.
How about we call you Patricia Chocolate Bank? Damn. Well, you know, in the spirit of Tupac, I'm just going to throw it out there for our hip-hop generation. We understand that you all have taken N-I-G-G-A and turned it never ignorant about getting goals accomplished. So while we're never ignorant about getting goals accomplished, we need to just stop using the word nigga, and that'd be about as far from being ignorant as it gets.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Amen. So that was well. It's time to spit. And Michael, Glenn, you still with us, brother?
I'm here for this, trying to finish out this round. I'm actually at a poetry slam practice, getting ready for Oakland and UT Arlington. So I'm waiting to go in. I was waiting to do that final poem, and then I was going to let you guys have it for the rest of the night. But I'll continue to listen. I just won't be able to chime in after this last piece.
Okay, well, I'll tell you
is
it all right with you?
Let's change the
world. Yeah,
you
that's
know, we
good. Go ahead.
Enough for a brother to take it now.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, here's a piece I wrote after being robbed and shot twice and outside of a poetry venue in Sacramento, California in 2004. And it's called In Our Heaven. And it's about how our black people, how expendable we are to each other. All right.
Oh, man.
In our heaven, there are no streets of gold or angels standing at crystal podiums waiting to greet you at the pearly gates. There are no harps or rainbows or grand pianos, nothing beautiful. And maybe this is why children hoping for brighter tomorrows keep slipping through the cracks. To get to our heaven, you just step through a hole in a barbed wire fence leading to an empty playground where dead pygmies hang from monkey bars like little pot-bellied bats whose wings have been clipped by an angry god too busy to answer prayers. Near the entrance, there's a giant dumpster overflowing with the battered spirits of abandoned babies screaming for their teenage mothers, and I suppose that's where lost souls go. Inside, a man wearing an I love mitt smiles like a pimp as he checks his list for Section 8 rape and motions to a rickety wooden ladder where drug dealers circle and grin. In the courtyard, Billie Holiday sits beneath a hanging tree with noose-shaped leaves, clutching an empty syringe, dying from spiritual laryngitis. To my left, Martin stands barefoot, handcuffed, surrounded by Confederate soldiers yelling, "Ain't no dream zero, brother, you took the wrong turn at the mountain." To my right, the Klan rapes Abe Lincoln. Malcolm is on his back in a straitjacket, and James Byrd is still running behind that truck in Jasper, Texas, struggling to pick up the pieces of his soul. In our heaven, the police play paintball with the blood of black children while Osama and Jeffrey Dahmer place bets, and the ancestors just sit on stumps like black leprechauns watching as priests turn pedophiles shrewd and wait for little Hansels and Gretels to lose their way. And history makes sure they do by leaving trails of broken promises scattered with the restless remains of a million slaves. In our heaven, the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church is a national celebration where heroes like Hitler and Hoover propose a toast to the ghosts of dead daughters and anyone caught believing in themselves. anyone when they have their spirits lynched by the rope of their own hope, because in our heaven, it's a sin to dream. Foster homes become concentration camps for children starving for attention, and there ain't no such thing as college with knowledge is the key to success. And here, they don't care if you don't do your best, because it don't matter. This don't matter. We don't matter. You see, this is what they see in their heaven. And if things don't change, this is all they'll be in their heaven. This is what they believe their heaven to be, because in their heaven, there is no tomorrow, just a hell of living today. I'm out, y'all. Thank y'all so much.
Wait, before you go, my brother, where can we find you? Our guests need to know.
You can Google Mike Gwynn. That's Mike, M-I-K-E, Gwynn, G-U-I-N-N, or just go to MikeGwynn.biz. But just Google. You'll find me, Facebook. I don't care. Just Google. You'll find me. I'll probably be on the first six pages.
Shout out your poetry slam that you do.
Okay, yeah, it's Fort Worth Poetry Slams, y'all. You can Google Fort Worth Poetry Slams or just Mike Gwynn, and you'll find them both. Again, it's been an honor to be on the show, Beverly. Thank you so much for the opportunity, guys. Girls, you're awesome, and I've already told people to keep watching, keep listening to the show, and I hope we do this again. Thank you so much for leaving me a part of an elite ensemble of poets and spoken word artists. Thank you so much.
All right,
thank you
so much, Michael. One love, my brother.
Woo.
Wow, that is
why he is
the producer of the Fort Worth Poetry Slam, because the brother is bad like that. Okay.
Wait a minute. Even though he was getting out of it, because it was obvious that he was trying to get out of here, I understood every word he said.
he ripped it at the end, didn't he rip it?
Yes, he did,
he
baby.
It. Well, spitters can always hear another spitter, so I understand. Chocolate, go ahead and spit for us, so we back a rotation. Give us what you got.
Okay, here's what I have. This is called Black Woman, Where Art Thou? Where are you, black woman? Lace fronts, lace backs, hair on your heads of the dead replaces your crown. Why the disguise? Blue, green, purple, and gray, looking out at the world through plastic eyes. Are those your warm, full lips that spew words of surrender and defeat, forgetting lessons your ancestors taught you, making promises you don't plan to keep? Are those your hands with the weak grasp offering a cold artificial acrylic touch? Are you behind that mask with features sharp, sterile, carved, and cut up? Can that be your body exposed, inviting X-rated handling? Bitch, hoe, hood rat, trick. Is that your character the black man is slandering? Black woman, where are you? Who will teach our sons and daughters? Girl, you've got work to do. Good old home training passed from our mothers and fathers. I know you are out there somewhere, strong, proud, and true. Of civilization, you are the mother. When I find you, I will know you, one queen to another. Where are you, black woman?
Go ahead. When I find you, I will know you. One black
right.
one
queen
to another.
That's right.
Well,
okay.
Royalty recognized royalty up in here, y'all.
Okay.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Now,
that
I know the time. Thank you. I'm poeticist. I know the time is getting short, and so is it all right with you that I just not do my last poem and give my time to my guests so that they can do theirs?
Okay.
No.
You will be missed.
You know, we want to hear from everybody. We want everybody to speak. But of course you can do that. Of course.
Okay, good. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So we're going to pass it on to LD right now.
Actually, can I pass it too? Because I'm driving. I don't want to drive.
Okay.
While I'm driving. Yeah.
Can I take the ball? Can I take the ball?
wait. Let's do this then, sweetie LD.
Yes, I have.
Now we know you can rap.
Like in front of me, but I don't want to drive and try to read and you know.
Okay, don't drink and drive. Don't poet and drive.
I just thought I could make it to my destination before y'all got to me, so I stuck in the car and I started driving. I was like,
poetry on wheels.
That's all right. Let's go ahead and go to Bob, and we're gonna stand the time, and perhaps you know, when you get to your destination, you can still sit for us. That's all, love.
Okay, good.
This is
Ryan.
I wrote this particular piece with a beautiful woman by the name of Beverly in mind, and not only that, I'm going to dedicate it to you, another Beverly in my life. Okay?
All right.
Here we go. It's called My Mahogany Muse. It's called My Mahogany Muse. My Mahogany Muse, certain males try to malign and confine your sojourner truth mind. However, you, sun hot with fire, burn your way free. My mahogany muse, once hellish hands exert their fervor to hurt, you become water and swan away. My mahogany muse, soon as injustice attempts to choke us, you become air that resuscitates with care. My mahogany muse, you are scripture on Sundays, giving the psalm from well-filled wisdom. You are my guidepost to utopia, providing angel-glazed rays. My mahogany muse, you prevent my descent each time I near the foolishness abyss. Blessedness is the bridge you built for us to cross. Thank you.
Yes,
my
beautiful. I wasn't ready for that one to be. Okay. Were we ready for that one to be over with? I wanted him to say one more time. So can you just say that line one more time?
Sure, I can do that. Let's see. Now, what line would you like me to repeat?
I want you to say my.
Mahogany muse.
Yeah, say that.
My mahogany muse.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about. It's in that sense.
That was beautiful, and we surely want to thank you for being here spitting and dedicating that. And I've met your Beverly online.
Yep.
So if she's listening, hey, Beverly.
Hi, Beverly.
Yes, she is.
That's right. All right, now, Chocolate wanted her guest to go, so we got Mama still
I'ma be
ready
me.
To... I'ma be me.
I'ma
okay.
be me.
I just want to give a shout-out to the brothers and remind them with that mahogany muse how crazy the women went. Brothers, sisters will never get tired of being gushed over and loved on and called beautiful.
Right.
So that's a note
exactly.
you might want to tuck away.
Yeah.
There was a line that Patrice used. Was it acrylic, cold acrylic? Touch, was it? Something like that?
It was, let me see, what I say? I said, I'm getting ready to tell you right now, are those your hands with the weak grass offering a cold artificial acrylic touch?
Acrylic touch. Yeah.
That was so piercing to me. And so I just want to, like, piggyback on that, and that will be the piece that I'm going to share. And it's called Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, so you know everybody's trying to be green right now. So anyway, you'll get that in just a second. So here we go. I'm going to be okay. I'm all right. I'm fine. But I'm lying. Because folks get to sighing and sucking teeth when you're dying inside. So we put our dying aside to hide our need for a hand, a heart, or God forbid, just some of your time. How am I supposed to heal when the hill I got to climb to get there is me? Still navigating contemplations that I'm unsure of. I can't get pure love until I learn to love me, which means I might go and got to wait in eternity. Because while talk is cheap, talkers still sling words about how they masturbate masterings of such things elusive to me. Quick to call me weak for needing a hand. When I thought strength was admittance, but I struggle to stand alone sometimes. I'm confused by these views of bullshit thrown around. We keep speaking on high while we walking on ground bones, creating fossils, grown from groans of those forced to clone facades of facilitating. I'm cool. I'm cool. So you ain't left uncomfortable with not really knowing what to do with my discomfort or lack of having my shit neatly packed in all together. These pleather lifestyles ain't got nothing to do with going green. Thank you.
Oh, nothing to do with it. She said,
okay.
Wait a minute. She said these pleather. That didn't get back to me. Lifestyle. Okay. Girl, you better. I'm out of my
that
league.
Was bad. That was bad. You know
that's
we're going to have a... season two. So
okay.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
It was,
yeah, we were able to bring everybody
beautiful.
Back. Everybody back.
Yes.
Did Sweet LD arrive at her destination?
No, but you know what? I will do this because I don't want to delay this any further. I'm going to pull over, and I'm going to pull over and exit early. And then I'll stop over here on the side so you guys can I can share with you my last piece, okay?
Okay.
Give
how
me
much
just
further
a few seconds.
Okay.
It's about another mile or two, but I'm just gonna go ahead and do it right here. It's cool.
Okay.
It's better than having you guys wait any longer for me to get there, so just give me just a second.
And, you know, she's in Texas, and she's driving in Texas, so, you know, if you know anything about Texas, first of all, they drive like cowboys. It's like they steal on horses. And another thing, everything is spread out. Nothing
is
close
is.
To anything else.
It's
all good. It's all good because I'm from Texas now, so don't mess with Texas. I'm just saying.
Okay, now.
Thinking whoever want to get another something started, that could be, you know, the thing, poetry on the side of the road.
Okay.
Roadside poetry.
All right.
Okay, so this is called If I Could Help.
Okay.
If I could help heal you, comfort you, ease your trouble, I would be the long walk or the first step after believing you can't move. I would be the convulsing cry, and I'd be the song you sing, play on repeat, or the inspiration to the notes of a new song. I would be the hand you hold or the breath of prayer you press between your own. I'd be the smile hiding till a better day. I would be the pen, the paper calling you, and the words screaming through your silence that helps you cross a bridge that seems too long. I would be the memories, the other side, the better to the not so good. I'd be that feeling inside when the sun warms you or the rush of ocean waves caressing your feet, pulling away the pain as I recede. I'd be the lost voice and the strength it finds in faith to speak again. I'd be the pillow you cling to, the blanket that keeps you intact while all around you falls apart. I'd be the twinkling in your eye, the change in perspective, the release and the holding on. I'd be the question and the answer to why anything matters. Because I know what it feels like to climb what seems insurmountable, reaching the peak and knowing your will keeps you going. If I could help heal you, me, the world, I do it with my eyes closed and not a care in the world but love. That's it.
Mm.
That's
beautiful.
Oh, wow. That was sweet.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, that was real sweet.
I think that was like a nice partnership to follow up with the sometimes.
You know, well, you know, when you did the sometimes, I thought about that, and I was like, okay.
That's what I was just saying. That's a beautiful comeback. That's a beautiful comeback. It ain't all pleasure yet.
Wow.
You run into a great
I don't do pleather. I do green. So always go with me.
That
was an incredible ride.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you.
I am so proud.
That was wonderful.
Both of you
thank
young
you.
Ladies, and that was wonderful.
Thank
that
you.
Was wonderful.
Well,
I'm
going to
do my last
piece.
Okay.
I'm going to do my last piece, and then Chocolate Banks going to close us out, if that's all right.
That's
mm-hmm.
all right. That's all right.
All right, now, this is called Flow. F-L-O-W, flow.
Okay.
It's the poeticid one I scribe just for fun. My real ministry is in creating legacies, empowering others to see their gifts unfold like prophecy. Movement with positive energy, creating synergy with folks like me that have a need to be all they can be. I'm flowing in the gumbo, running with the tribe though, spitting all I know like a river I flow, all around the globe creating businesses with friends and kin, hoping for more. Flow.
Mm.
Yay! Yay! DBJ, that's
like
poetic.
That
is poetic.
Yeah, I like that.
That's
right on,
absolutely. Y'all. And if you were listening carefully to those words, that's exactly what she does. She is so generous with, and she is always on the grind, and her hand is always extended. She's always doing whatever she can to help whoever she can, whenever she can. And so there's no greater purpose on earth than service, as far as I'm concerned. So as we go out, Bob, can you tell us where we can get a hold of you and for all things Bob?
Absolutely. I thank you for taking the time to share my material with your audience. You guys are awesome, and I sincerely hope that we will keep in contact with each other. I'm going to give you a means to do that on Facebook, so let's keep it together. I hope we can do that. Can I hear an amen on that?
Amen.
Do you have a website?
Yes. Well, anyone who is interested in purchasing my CD, Rapping with the Facts, or if you're interested in purchasing my books, my contact information is as follows. My name is Bob McNeil, McNeil. You can write me at P.O. Box 144, Hollis, New York, 11423, or you can email me at McNeil_Bob@yahoo.com. I am also on Facebook. Who isn't these days? And you can check out my videos on YouTube. My channel is McNeilBob1.
Okay. We got that. Everybody got that. All right. Sweet LD, all things Sweet LD, where do we go?
All things Sweet LD right now is on Facebook. And so that's Facebook, Sweet LD, or Suhaila Sabir. That's me. Or you can reach me on Twitter and Instagram, and that's SweetLD357. So that's moi.
Okay, very good. I'm going to be me. Where do we go for all things I'm going to be me?
I guess Face probably the place to check it out. It's IMMO, capital BME. And As I Be Me is way too complicated. If push comes to shove, you can look up Mama Laura Cook and then look through the pages that I've liked, and I'ma Be Me will be in there.
Okay, cool.
Awesome.
And, of course,
beautiful.
For me, Patrice Chocolate Banks, just go to PatriceChocolateBanks.com. I'm also on Facebook and some other stuff, but Facebook is probably where you will be most likely to catch me, like, right away. Poeticid One, are you there?
You, Oh, I'm right here. I'm the poet etiquette one, and you can find me. You can find me trotting with the tribe on tribefamilychannel.com. I am Beverly Black Johnson, a.k.a. BBJ, the creator of Gumbo for the Soul International, Gumbo for the Soul Publications, Tribe Family Channel, and Tribe Poetry Jam. And it has been an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to have all of you here helping to celebrate and salute the founders of Deaf Poetry Jam. And for all things
chocolate. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great. And thank you, Beverly. This was so much fun. I know I didn't know what the heck I was doing, but I had a lot of fun while I was doing it. And I hope this is the first of many. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it
definitely is. Thank you all for all of your energy. And for all things chocolate, before you introduce this last clip we're going to play, where can we find you besides on Tribe with Everybody as a Star? Where else can we find you, my sister?
Okay, well, you missed it. What were you doing? I said,
did I miss it? Did I zone?
Yeah, you missed it.
I must have been creating something else.
I guess so, but I did not say everybody. I don't know how I did not say Everybody is a Star on Friday nights at 8 o'clock on TribeFamilyChannel.com. Sweet LD has been a guest of mine in the past. So for all things funk, if you want to know anything about Funk 101, check me out on Friday nights at 8 o'clock on TribeFamilyChannel.com. Everybody's a Star. So we're getting ready to go out now with one of the people that I named, who I think is like one of the greatest poets of all time, and that is Sly Stone. And we're going out on his song, I'ma Be Me. We going out with your daddy's song, I'm a Poet.
Sweet.
And you know what?
I'm a poet.
I want to thank all of y'all once again. But before we play I'm a Poet, let me see if caller 225 want to holler at us. Caller 225 area code, are you there? Caller 225 area code, are you still there? Okay, well, I guess they just want to listen and don't want to spit. So until next time, we will be live on Tribe. And here is Poet by Sly.
Hey, you guys. Love you.
Bye.